may be seated. After a month-long absence, let us kind of move forward and yet I'll probably reach back and grab a couple of things. Amen. In reiterating our base theme of that which we have been conveying to you, I guess over a year now, amen. Right. Big subject, the scripture doctrine of regeneration, amen, which deals with the eternal workings of God in eternity, of Him having saved us and placed us into the body of Christ, amen, before the creation of the foundation of the world. Amen. In addition to this, I passed out to you this morning the scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. And for the next several weeks, as we close out, amen, our dissertation of regeneration, this is the last part of it. All right, let's immediately move into our context. Let's go. You know where we're going. Elder Lieberman is our designated reader this morning. Amen. Again, I want to say thank God for the ministering that took place for the time I was out. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. The Word of God is so rich. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. Amen. Just give me the grace of God. Hallelujah. All right. Titus chapter 3. Let's see, for the sake of time, Elder, verses 4, 5, and 6, and 7, well, and 8, so verses 4 through 8, mm-hmm. I want you to read it from the King James as we go back and recapitulate those things that we had previously conveyed to you, a few things, and then we shall go forward into the last portion of the dissertation. All right, everyone has Titus chapter 3, verse 4, say amen. All right, Elder is going to read from the King James, and then he is going to read from the Greek text. Again, amen, the Bible, the New Testament, was written in Greek. And we have copies of these documents, and we're going to use them. The English language is only, as we speak it today, is only some 400 or 500 years old. Amen. Back in the time when these documents were written, there was no such thing as the English language. Amen. So I don't go along with this inspired, King James being inspired, English version of the Bible. Amen. Take the documents. We take the documents and we use the same documents. And they were copies then. They're copies now. In fact, they're copies of copies. Amen. And we go through them and through the process of exegesis, that is systematic interpreting them through the three aspects of scrutiny, which is contextual, what? Grammatical, and historical. And we seek to line those three up. Now we got an idea of what the conveyance really is versus what the translator or the commentator has given. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're not right. Amen. So we don't trust that. All right. Verse 4, Elder Reed.
Titus chapter 3, beginning with the fourth verse.
Again, everybody got it, amen? All right, read.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done,
mm-hmm.
but according to His mercy,
mm-hmm.
He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That being justified by his grace.
See, that's why we go to the Greek. Amen. Keep reading, because we're going to go to the Greek.
We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that ye affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
Let the church say amen. Now, the many things that we preach about at this hour right now, across this nation, across this world, perhaps there are messages being preached from the pulpits. Most of them are topical. Most of them are speaking about things that are progressing in time. Amen.
Yes.
While these things are certainly important and do have merit, amen, what has been given to us in our gospel, that is the gospel of the grace of God, is an insight into the eternal workings of God. This is where our focus should be. Amen. Where you live and where you work and how much you make and your house and your mortgage and your, amen, your car and your car payments. Amen. And even the food you eat and all of those things. Amen. They're secondary. Mm-hmm. Jesus, amen, speaking to the disciples. He was always pointing toward, amen, the spiritual things of God as outweighing the things that are around us, even though they are so necessary.
Right. Yeah.
But our gospel of the grace of God, that is the volume of truth that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, which is the gospel of grace, which is the gospel that should be preached in this dispensation at this time to this church, which is the Grace Church, on a prioritized basis, amen, extols the eternal unseen things of God.
Yes.
The things that are unseen are more than the things around us that are seen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said it again. Yes. The things that are unseen are more important than the things around us that are seen.
Amen.
I break it down. Your salvation is more important than your job. Your salvation is more important where you live. Your house. Amen. Your salvation is more important than your relationships with one another. Amen. Whether it's spousal, whether, amen, it deals with your prodigy, those that are your offsprings, whether it deals, amen, with whatever relationship that we have now are assigned for a period and a time, and there's an ending.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering how many funerals we have to go to before we realize and get the message of what death is. Death, amen, is a messenger that is telling us that everything around us in this life, in creation, in the sphere of time, is temporary.
Yes.
It had a beginning and it has a definite end.
Yes.
And so on a prioritized basis, we should be looking at the eternal things of God that will never end.
Glory to God.
Your relationship with God is the most important relationship concerning you. It is more important than your relationship that you have with your wife, with your husband, with your children.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
With one another. Yes. I love all of you all. Amen. Oh, but I understand that it's just a matter of time.
Yes.
Amen. Where we won't be fellowshipping anymore. Oh, you all don't hear me. It's just a matter of time.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And it will be over.
Right.
That part of it will
yes.
be over.
Right.
So our focus must be on the everlasting, eternal things of God.
Yes, Lord.
In this passage, and this is why I would say 90% of the time our messages should be about the things that the eyes cannot, that's the natural eyes, cannot see.
Glory.
The natural ears cannot hear.
Yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And we cannot reach out and taste, touch, and physically connect with.
Right.
Amen. Because every one of those things are perishing.
Perishing.
Yes. Every one of those things are dissipating.
Yes. Yeah.
Every one of those things, amen, were designed for a specific time and a specific purpose, and all of that comes to an end.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We need to focus on that, amen, that will never end.
Glory.
And this is why, amen, the majority of the preaching should be about salvation.
Glory.
Should
God.
Be yeah. about your eternal, everlasting abode, amen, as a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. That which goes beyond the grave and beyond the last time that you and I would draw our breath. Amen. The essence of being glorified in Christ. Amen. And it is to the shame of the ministry and to the detriment of those who sit on the ministries that we are focusing and trusting on things that are ultimately going to fail us. Now, the focus here is about salvation. Verses 1, 2, and 3 is speaking about the things that are going on. And most of it is bad. Oh, yes. Most of it is how we're acting. You look in the world and you see everything that you see. In verse 3, amen, you see foolish, disobedient, deceit. You see deception. Amen. Serving devil's lusts, serving devil's pleasures, living in malices. Envy, hateful, amen, hating. Isn't that what's going on? Amen. But in spite of that, let's go to verse 4 in the Greek.
Amen.
Elder,
mm-hmm.
Those of you who have your interlineal, those of you don't, just follow along and listen intently. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 4, from the interlineal.
Titus chapter 3, verse 4.
Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, those that have interlineals. All right, read.
Interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us,
mm-hmm.
God.
Now, it's here we said appeared. Here it is speaking of manifestation. Kindness and love to us must be traced back to when God first showed his kindness and love to us. As we corroborate that, we look back into the Old Testament of David, who spoke about the fact that the Lord knew him or foreknew him before he was formed in the womb of his mother's belly.
Yes.
So before, amen, he was created, God foreknew him.
That's right.
But he was speaking of the fact that God knew him or foreknew him in a most favorable way. Amen. So the love of God and the mercy of God was upon David long before he ever messed up. And long before you and I ever messed up.
Yes.
Oh my God. Read.
Of God, not by works in righteousness,
mm-hmm.
which did we.
Not by anything that we have done. We have not received the mercy and the love of God through something that we have done. Something that we have accomplished. Something that we have brought to pass. It is not through our, amen, merit. Grace means non-merit. Amen. Adam didn't deserve to be spared, but he was a recipient of God's love and mercy.
Yes, right.
Amen. Noah and his family did not deserve to be spared, but they were recipients, eternal recipients of God's love and mercy. Long before the flood ever came along, long before he ever built an ark, amen, he didn't just find mercy in God's and grace in God's sight on a certain day, amen. Noah was made a vessel of mercy. He was created a vessel of grace. Hallelujah. And Abraham, and we could go all down through the annals of that which is recorded in the scriptures. Each one of these men were eternal recipients of the grace of God.
Yes.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. When David says love and mercy shall follow me.
Yes.
He's not saying, I mess up and then God show the mercy. Actually, amen, it is just conveyed in the humanistic anthropomorphic lingo. Amen. It was the mercy and grace that was leading and going before David.
Right.
Amen. To make sure that when he messed up, y'all don't hear it.
Glory. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But here it says when it appeared.
Yes, it did.
When it was manifested.
Yes,
sir. And it's not by works. Not by works of righteousness. Which did we? Nothing that you did. Nothing that I did. We must put salvation in its proper perspective.
That's right.
But how did it happen? But according what?
But according to the of him mercy.
According to his mercy.
He saved us.
According to his mercy. He saved us. That's the only thing that you can point toward. It's God's grace and his mercy. That's the only reason. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You can't even say the word salvation without the word grace.
Yeah.
So he saved us, and how did he do it?
Through washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration.
And renewal spirit.
And renewal.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Verse 6.
Which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ.
Again, amen. To recapitulate what we had conveyed on several occasions. Amen. We have the verb there. As a clean,
right.
Which is translated poured. King James says, shed, I have no problem. He said, amen, poured gives a better illustration that God is in, has something that he showered upon you and he gave you and he poured it upon you, and poured gives the inference that the one who poured it upon you had control of it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. So it wasn't something that was shared off him. It's something that he had control over and that he poured on you. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that great? And how did he pour it upon us? We have, amen, the Greek word that's translated richly. Richly, abundantly. How did he do it?
Richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it is in the aorist tense. It is a past completed action. And he poured it upon us. And it points to a prior, amen, point before the time that it is spoken. So the conveyance here is speaking of something that has already happened.
Yes.
And so when did he save you? When did he wash you through regeneration? When, amen, did he bless you through the Holy Spirit? When did he shed all of this upon you? When did he pour it upon you? Amen. A past completed action. It must point to the eternal realm of when in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. It, the conveyance is according as he has done what?
Chosen.
Is he chose you, amen, in him when? Before the foundation of the world. That's when he poured it on you.
Yes.
Oh my God. Before, my God, he saved you before he made you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
You were a child of grace, a child of mercy. You were designed, amen, and created to a vessel of mercy. Y'all don't hear me. You didn't wake up one day and decide you want to be saved and got tired of seeing all of that other crazy stuff that we hear about. Amen. Hallelujah. You were his from the beginning. And so when you understand that, now we go to verse 7. Read that.
In order that, having been justified.
That's right. I know you said, well, that said being, you know, he's wrong there. Here the Greek word is dikaiothendes. You have an aorist participle. You cannot get rid of, amen. Are you going to the store? That would be the present. Or have you been to the store? There's a whole lot of difference between have you been or are you going. Huh? Are you going to heaven or are you already there? Huh? Of course, they're looking and the reason they're shy about the actual translation here is because we look around and we say, there's no way we're already there.
Right.
Oh my God. But you will understand that as the scripture writes, it is speaking of that which has come into existence, and we review things as coming into existence as they are manifested and revealed to us.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. But a thing comes into existence when God decrees it. When God perceives it, that's when it is brought into existence. And this is what the scripture is saying. Amen. No. We look at each other. I look at you and you look at me. And neither one of us looking at a glorified body. Amen. But that's because it hasn't been revealed or manifested. But oh, I said to you this morning, amen, because he foreknew you, he predestinated according to Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, and because, amen, predestinated you, foreknew you, he justified you, he called you, amen. And in that passage, you'll see the same construction there, amen, of the aorist tense. When it gets to glorified, it is also a past completed action.
Yes,
speaking of the fact that God has already done this thing, you and I don't see it yet. But oh, hallelujah. Yes. It's not based upon the essence of what you see and what you know, but what God has already done.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's it.
Hallelujah. So I haven't got to worry. Amen. About
you.
Oh, hallelujah. Is something going to come along and interrupt because I'm on my way to heaven? Because if that's the case, something may come along and interrupt what's going on. But oh, hallelujah. If it's a done deal, no matter what come, what may, what's manifested, it's already taken care of. All right, let's move on. That time, that clock is beating me up. Read.
Hallelujah. Having been justified
by
the of that one grace,
heirs,
we might become.
Okay. The Greek word yenithomi. So, Pastor, why you got all that Greek? Because we want to know what the scripture is teaching.
That's right.
If someone tell you you might become an heir, what is that?
Might not.
Future. That's something that may happen. It's a possibility, but it might not happen. How many things in our life that we possibilities that we have looked at and that thing didn't happen? Here you have a verb that is in a subjunctive mood, which means it's a probability. So you have the might there. But it is also in the aorist tense, which is a completed action. So here you have a completed probability. Woo!
Glory to God.
And this should read, might be having been made an heir of God.
Glory to God.
You might be because in time it's not manifest. manifested, but it has been and it is because in eternity God made you an heir because he kept them chosen. If you were not made an heir in eternity, what in the world did he choose you for? What was the purpose of the choice? If he didn't make you an heir in eternity. And if you don't understand that, when you're reading another part of the Bible, and it speaks of the fact that we are heirs, then the question is, are we heirs? Or is it just a possibility of us becoming heirs? No. It's a past completed action. And then you have the perfect tense. Where it is because it was. Huh? So it all goes back to the fact Glory. That this is something that God did in eternity. And so, if you don't worry about something, don't let it be your salvation. Don't let it be whether I'm going to get to heaven or not.
Amen.
And anyway, if you had to get to heaven based upon what you do, it wouldn't happen.
Oh, glory.
It would be a doom probability.
Absolutely.
Yes, Lord.
But when it is placed in the essence of what God did through Christ in eternity, it's what they call a done deal.
Glory to God.
So I'm not just hoping to be saved. I am saved.
Amen.
I am saved because I was saved.
That's right.
Yes.
Huh?
That's it.
You got Esau and you got Jacob.
Come on, come on.
He loved one and he hated the other before either one of them were ever born.
Man.
Yeah.
Romans, what's that, chapter 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have time to turn to it today. You go to it before either one of them ever had a chance to do any good or evil. God chose one.
Right. Yes,
and rejected the other.
Right.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. Based upon what?
Election.
Based upon the election.
That's right.
God's sovereign choice of you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my God. You were made, amen, a vessel of love and of mercy. Amen. You were made something special. Amen. Hallelujah. You were made to be the beloved. You were made to be the essence of, oh my God, of sons of God. Oh my God. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this is why no matter what's going down, we're always rejoicing in the God of our salvation.
Glory to God.
We're always giving God the praise and the glory for everything that he has done. Amen. Even if my bill's behind, I'm praising him and magnifying him. Huh? If I lose a loved one, I'm praising. If I'm sick, I'm praising. Y'all don't hear me. If I'm broke, I'm, amen. Oh my God, the bill of good that God's people sitting in these assemblies being sad each week, amen, about getting ahead, and I hope every one of you get ahead, but not at the expense, oh my God, of not knowing and understanding who you are, who you were.
Glory to God.
All right, verse 8.
Verse 8. Faithful is the word. And as to these things, I wish thee to affirm confidently.
Mm-hmm.
In order that we may take thought of good works to maintain the ones having believed God.
All right. Having believed God. Having believed God. And finish it up.
These things are good and profitable to men.
Mm-hmm. So here, the work that we do, the service to God that we do, it's not based upon the fact that we're doing it because we're trying to get to heaven.
No way.
The deeds that you do are the result, or should be as a result, of the knowledge that God has imparted in your hearts, and you do it in appreciation that he has already saved you, that he saved you in eternity, not on the basis I'm doing them so that God will accept me into heaven. And this is what we want to deal with. Take your document.
Hallelujah.
Not going to get too far today, but I had to go back. Haven't been away for a month. Go back and reiterate some things. Take your document, the scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration. Everybody got to say amen. It is of utmost importance to scripturally examine and assess the unscriptural and incorrect applications of certain ritualistic practices that have been orthodoxly adopted in the misconceived regenerating process of conferring salvation. The subtle pietousness and are prideful. Those who are pious and prideful, arrogant of certain diversified sectors of Christendom. They have established a confusing intrusion into the eternal doctrine of regeneration by asserting that salvation is conditioned upon someone's self-initiated belief in Christ. And then they don't stop there. There's the added demand that such ones must also dedicate themselves to do God's will in their daily lives in order to be saved. Now I can't think of anything more unnerving than to not have an understanding and assurance of your relationship with God. Whether you're saved, whether you're not saved, whether you're lost, whether you're doing good, whether you're doing bad. Amen. I can guarantee you you're doing bad. No matter who you are. According to God's righteousness and standards, you're doing bad.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we are. You say, well, I do this and then we're going to get in all of that. Amen. And to put these conditions of what you must do is what is added to all the confusions.
Yes.
And why we have so many dogmas and denominational doctrines that are being fostered as the blueprint and prescription for you pleasing God to the end of him accepting you into heaven.
Oh my God.
Now, gospel emphatically teach us. And I say, our gospel. I'm speaking of the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
There are no conditions.
None.
By which God is poised to extract something out of you for the purpose of saving you. There's nothing good in us for God to extract out of us in order to save us. If there are conditions of things that are required of us for God to save us, we are doomed this morning. We are lost.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Romans 3:23, what does it say? There's none righteous. What does none mean? None means no one. And also all have what?
All have sinned.
And done what?
Short.
Have come short of the glory of God. Oh. Follow. The desirability of the salvation recipient's dedication to God, and we must make this statement, it is desired that as recipients of salvation, that we do show dedication to God. It is obviously stressed in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 2 and 7 and 5, I want you to turn to that right quick. Very quickly. Amen. We have to establish this, because the first thing they're going to say now is that you're teaching this, and because you are teaching this, you are teaching loose living, and you are giving people a license to sin and a license to do this, and you're telling them that they don't have to do this, that, and the other, so forth and so on. But in grace, you don't do something to get something. In grace, you do something because you've already got something.
Amen.
In other words, you don't forgive in order to be forgiven. You forgive because you've already been forgiven. And anything else that's going down the pike. Amen. You're not doing it to get something. You're doing it because you got something.
Yes.
All right, you got that? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You all sure you're not? You can't let me preach a couple hours this morning.
Oh.
Look at the looks on those faces. All right. I'm just kidding. Start at verse 1, Elder. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2.
Amen.
From the King James. I want you to just read the first. Well, we don't have time. Just read the first two verses.
First two verses.
All right. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1. Everybody got it again? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read or read.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, begin with the first verse.
Uh-huh.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful.
All right. Now, somebody said, well, see, that's right. Then all contextualize. Contextualize.
Contextualize
it.
Right.
First of all, before we even leave the King James, let's go to verse 23 of the third chapter, the verse just before that. Now remember now, the Bible, the manuscripts, listen to me, as originally written, were not divided up into chapters and verses.
Right.
Now, it's a good thing because you were able to call a verse. I was able to call a verse, amen, and we were actually able to go right to a point in the scriptures. So we are not militating against the division in of the script, amen, by chapter and verses.
Right.
What we do submit to you, it's just because at this point it is verse 1 of chapter 4 that that's really where the context is. Many times you've got to go up a few verses and realize that everywhere they made a break was not the actual point of where the context of one thought stopped and another started. In this instance, you must go back. Verse 23, just that verse.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 23.
Uh-huh.
And ye are Christ.
And you are who?
Christ. Christ. That's right. And Christ is God.
So, here he has made an emphatic statement.
Right.
In saying that you belong to who?
Christ.
So now you're not going to go on two verses and say that there's a condition for what he has just told you, amen, in this verse. And also, let's go to the Greek. Elder, again, starting that third, that 23rd verse, and go forward.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 23, Greek text.
Uh-huh.
And ye of Christ...
Stop. The actual reading is "emis the Christu," and it's translated "and ye of Christ." Christu is in what we call the genitive case.
Uh-oh.
So what he is saying is that you belong to Christ.
Amen.
Now he's going to go down two more verses and put a condition on the fact that you belong to Christ. I don't think so. You of Christ and Christ of God. So it is emis the Christu, Christos the Theou. You belong to Christ and Christ belong to God. You belong as much to Christ as Christ belong to God.
Glory to God. Hey, have mercy. Glory.
Got nothing to do with you.
Glory to God. Thank God.
Nothing to do with you.
Hallelujah.
I had an old pastor tell me, he said, and I've got to be careful the way I say this. I rephrase it. He said, if you don't tell the people they got to do something, they won't do anything. We're not saying you shouldn't do anything. But you are not doing it in order to try to be saved. And that's not what this passage is teaching. The first business is to know who you are. And then what you do is because of who you are. Not who you're trying to be. If you internalize this, no one would have to browbeat you.
Come on.
Oh, have mercy.
No one would have to bribe you. Uh-huh. The member of the month. I couldn't imagine us doing that around here. The member of the month. Nobody would have to appeal to your ego and your pride. No one would have to try to intimidate you and tell you that if you don't do this and pay your tithe and come to church, you're going to hell.
Amen. All right. Amen.
The first business is to know who you are. Huh? And I don't know about you. After I read this, I want to run.
That's it.
Huh? Not to see what the end's going to be, but because I know what the end's going to be.
That's it. Glory to God. Amen.
got this thing backwards. All right, Elder, come on. Let's go into verse 1 in the Greek.
Verse 1? Okay.
That's chapter 4 in the Greek in the lineal.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Greek, a text. So us let reckon a man as attendants of Christ.
You see what the reading is there? Look at this.
And stewards of mysteries of God.
That word reckon means account. So because of what is said in verse 23, you are reckoned. You are counted an attendant of Christ. You are counted a servant of Christ because of who you are.
Glory.
So that should read, so a man is reckoned as an attendant of Christ because of who he is. Not some man account you as a, that no matter what I account you or anyone, you know, people that do things because they want to make brownie points with the pastor and want to look good in front of everybody else in the congregation. Wrong motive.
Amen.
Pastor doesn't have anything to give you. Promotions and wanting to have some big office and some recognition. That's why I shy as much away from recognition as I can. And not that I don't appreciate what you do, but I don't want to get into this thing. He didn't call my name. Well, did God know that you did it? Well, yeah, because he knows all things. But that should be enough. That should be enough. If man don't ever, if man doesn't ever recognize it. This thing, you know, let a man count. See, they got that thing backwards. It's not how that reads.
Right.
So the man doesn't do a reckon. A man is reckon. So a man is not reckoning you a servant of God, but you are, as a man, or as an individual, are reckoned to be a son of God. Why are you reckoned to be a son of God? Because in verse 3, you belong to God.
Amen. That's right.
That's what they're saying. And so we are, because we belong to Christ, we are reckoned as the attendant of Christ, and what else?
And stewards of mysteries of God.
And the stewards of the mysteries of God. And here Paul here is speaking about the volume of truth.
Yes.
The mystery.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right. Man.
We are servants, amen, to convey this gospel because of who we are.
Amen.
Oh, really? Woo, my God. Man. Hallelujah. We're going to just hang with me. We're on just a little over this morning, but not much. There's no perfection class today, and those barbecues on the grills and all that can wait a few minutes. All right. Read.
Here for the rest, it is sought among stewards in order that faith for anyone be found.
Now, here, basically, it's speaking of those who are not faithful. That it is so. The mysteries of God, the teaching of God, the purpose of it, amen, is to convey, and this is God's process, to convey, amen, the message to you, amen, and as it you are blessed and calls to internalize this message.
Yes, Lord.
What comes forth? Service to God.
Amen. There you go.
Glory.
That's right.
If this doesn't get it, it can't be done.
That's right. Amen. Absolutely. Yes.
Because if you're doing it for the wrong reason, you might as well keep it. You know, there are many that teach, you know, if you give this much, God will. The things that are taught inside these congregations.
Oh, have mercy.
You give a dollar, he give you back five.
Oh.
Now we reduce God to a slot machine. Say, you pumping in, God pumps out. So if you want to be blessed on your job time,
yeah,
and you'll get more money.
Yeah, Lord.
And then if you go to work tomorrow and get fired, you're all messed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Why? Because they told you that if you give, you're going to get a promotion. It has nothing to do. The promotion or whether you get fired has to do with the decree. Yeah. It doesn't have to do, amen, with what you are doing.
Is
Jesus enough? Can't Jesus be enough all by himself?
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
I mean, there's a certain secondized place for programs and social programs and fellowship and everything else that we do. There's a place for it. This Saturday we're having men and women fellowship here at the Grace Gospel Church. And I advise you, those of you that are here, come, be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But our church can't be built around fellowship.
Oh.
So, Pastor, what are you saying? No. What is the bottom line reason as to why you're here? The bottom line reason as to why you're here is because God has placed you here.
Amen.
And our first order of business,
amen,
is to understand our eternal relationship with the God of our salvation.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, we're going to deal with the Asians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The average church member knows nothing about the doctrine of justification.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of perpetuation.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of sanctification. Not really. Mm-hmm. The doctrine of imputation.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of what we've been preaching about for a year now, regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Someone thought they were making fun of me. You may talk about, you know, we focus on the Asians. I've adopted that. I love the Asians.
Amen.
Huh? The doctrines of salvation.
Yes, yes.
You got to know something about what got you here.
Yes. Glory to God.
Because what got you here is what's going to keep you here.
Glory to God.
Now as we move forward, I'm going to have to cut off the day. We're going to look at belief. I'm going to see that you're not saved because you believed.
All right now.
Ooh, Pastor, what are you saying?
Oh,
no,
right.
You are not saved because you believe. And this is what messes them up when it comes to, I'm writing another article, in fact, it's done. It is called The Salvation of the Infant, Mentally Incompetent, and Ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
He got three categories where for various reasons, they have not believed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
No infant, whether he is stillborn or whether he dies at the age of 6 months or 8 months, amen, has received intelligence enough to get up and walk down the aisle and say, I believe, and be baptized. Those who are mentally incapacitated, they are not,
yes,
received the message to the end where they can intellectualize and accept Jesus Christ as Savior.
Nope.
there are millions of people who have lived and are dead and in remote parts of the world that never heard of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so now we have to come up with doctrines to try to cover that, because we have been told that unless you believe, you can't be saved.
Oh.
Come back and we'll deal with that.
That's right.
You must surrender. Mm-hmm. You must. How are you going to surrender? You can rebel. You'll rebel all the way into, I was about to say hell. If God hasn't chosen you, that's the only thing you can do is rebel all the way into hell. Confession. Confession. You must confess. And so somebody said, well, how do you confess? And so they've come up with the sinner's prayer. We're going to deal with that. You know, because you walked up to an altar and you repeated after somebody, Lord. In fact, at the end of this, we have a sinner's prayer at the end of this document. That's the most ridiculous thing. Because you repeat this, you're saved. Restitution. And imploration. God can't save you unless you ask him. Because God ain't going to make nobody be saved.
Right.
You got to want this thing. Oh, how can I pray hard. Want to be saved. So we'll go through these things. But as it's, this is not there. So as it deals here, as we close, this passage here is speaking about the end of that which you are. And as a result of what you are, amen, that is the appeal. That is the appeal, amen. And the doctrine seeks to align you, amen, for the purpose be given testimony to who you are. Amen. Not who you're trying to be.
Hallelujah.
What you do calls you to be. Amen. What you're not. And the purpose of this, the purpose of all of this, Pastor, what's the purpose? The purpose of all this is that we want a no-so-sure salvation.
Amen.
The only way to have a no-so-sure salvation, first of all, you've got to take ourselves out of the formula. That ain't nothing about salvation dependent upon you.
Thank you.
Nothing. Nothing is all of God and none of us.
Hallelujah.
And then we got to get off of all these kicks, prescriptions of telling people what they got to do to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The most confusing thing in the world. And so we don't know whether we're coming or going.
Amen.
And some get confused or frustrated, and they throw up their hands and say, what to use?
Right.
And the men of the church is not even dealing with doctrine no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Five ways to.
Right.
I'll be gone next Sunday, but I don't even know who's preaching, but I don't even have to wonder and worry, amen, that nobody's going to stand up behind this pulpit and tell you five ways how to do nothing.
Oh.
10 ways to do something. How to be successful in this life. How do you know? God may bless Brother Tim to go into millions, and that might be his will.
Right.
Amen for Brother Tim.
Right. Right.
Just because he blessed him doesn't obligate him to bless me.
Absolutely.
Not in that way.
Absolutely.
But we have to look beyond the dollars and the cents and the houses and the land and all of these things and see the essence of salvation, and we can rejoice in the God of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
And then be happy every day.
Glory to God.
And lastly, let's get rid of this stress.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God's people are the most stressed out people you ever want to see.
Hallelujah.
We're stressed about everything. We're stressed about our job. We're stressed about our children. We're stressed about, amen, just life in general, about our health. And everything is floating around, and we are no better off than those that don't know God. We're just as stressed out as those who don't know Him. Let's get rid of this stress.
Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah.
In It starts with salvation. And if you know that salvation is taken care of, which is the greater thing, then you know that God has taken care of the lesser things. The lesser things is everything else that comes after salvation. So if he saved you, then God has great things in store for you, whether you become millionaires or not millionaires, whether you live in a mansion or whether you live, amen, in a squatter house, or you know, whether you eat or don't eat. I mean, most of my emails and responding to this gospel as we have presented it is coming from third world countries. Every week I get some kind of correspondence from Africa, India, and Asia. Because you can't go over there talking about I'm going to take my vision and turn it into a victory. I'm going to take my, you can't go over there talk. I got one letter from Uganda in a refugee camp. Guy has, one of the ministers has a ministry. And guess what? What we have presented is making all the sense in the world to them. You're not going to go into a refugee camp and start teaching five ways to get out of debt. They like to hang you by your toenails. You see? That's not the gospel. Because you might not. You know, everybody in here is going to be rich. The Lord just told me he just made 5 millionaires. And, you know, everybody just, you know, I mean, things like that. You know, that's not the gospel. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, amen, you're rich in Christ. Aren't you rich in Christ? All right. Till the next time, God bless you.